Father, as we come to you this morning, you are our Heavenly Father, and truly you are the one who can teach us and guide us and use us. And Father, that is our prayer today for our fathers. And it is our prayer for every man whose heart's desire is to follow you, to obey you, to live for you, to be an example for you. And so, Lord, that is our prayer today. We could ask for wealth or fame or fortune or notoriety or whatever else, but we desire none of those things, but we do desperately desire to have your guiding hand guiding us, to have you teaching us day by day, and ultimately to use us for your purposes. So Lord, today work in our hearts based on your word, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Now, today we only have 3 points to the message, and they're really very short points. I've chosen to call this today, Three Prayers of a Righteous Man. I thought about changing it to a godly man, but no, a righteous man. Now, some of us may be a little uncomfortable if we were to think, I'm a righteous man. And yet the Scripture uses this term all the time. And as we read the Scripture, the Scripture is always drawing differentials between the righteous and the ungodly, the righteous and the sinner. Now, we know that in the strictest sense, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we know that compared to God's standard, there isn't a righteous man on this earth. There has never been a righteous man on this earth except one, and his name was the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. He was the truly righteous man, and all the rest of us are sinners. And yet God calls us righteous. Now, just like anything else, when you're dealing with language or the English language, you have to know in what sense something is being said. So when the Scripture says that there are righteous men, it'll name men, and it'll say, and he was a righteous man, and he walked in the ways of the Lord. What is it saying? That he's sinless? No. That he's perfect? No. That he's not human? No. That he never messed up? No. What it means is, I'm just going to stick my neck out a little bit here and give you what I think is a decent definition of how the word of God uses righteous when applied to godly men. And it just simply means a man who is in right relationship with God. And that is possible for every single one of us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who is in right relationship with God, someone who loves God, someone whose heart is after God, someone who has a desire to please God and to be used of God. And in that sense, we can say that a man is righteous. And so, what would a righteous man pray for? And as I thought about it, I thought about these three things. They are very, very basic. Now, man, you know, I don't know, maybe not as much now. We've been through all the whatever you call it. They used to call it women's lib and feminism and all the rest. So a lot of ideas of what a man is or a woman is or whatever, a lot of that's been modified so far as the culture is concerned. But even by the old models, you know, whatever. Men don't cry. Men are macho. Men are this. Men are that. Men are the other. I don't know. All I know is you can be a full man in every way and pray these prayers. These prayers are not a sign of weakness. In fact, if you want to be a great man of God, if you want to be a true man of God, you will need to pray these prayers, because every single one of us is dependent on God. Now, there's probably quite a few dads here today. And all of us, like all the rest, at one time, were little itty babies. And when my mama was holding me, and I was just a little itty bitty baby, 2 or 3 months old, still on a bottle, still hadn't learned language, let me ask you something. How much did I know at that particular time? And how much did you today, you dads who are here today, how much did you know? at that particular time and in that particular stage of life. And the truth is, you didn't know much. In fact, I can only begin to remember certain specific things maybe from about age 2 and forward. Now, I had a friend down in Puerto Rico, and he said one time, he said, I can still remember laying in my crib. But then he said, but I slept in my crib until I was 5. But we didn't know a whole lot at that particular point. So why am I saying that? Because we came into this world knowing nothing. Maybe in some sense we sensed love. We knew there, you know, a mom and dad, you know, or family members, there were people that when we went, wah, they came running and took care of our needs and stuff like that. But we didn't know very much. And then we began to learn a few things. And then we went to kindergarten, we began to learn a little bit more. And then when we went to grade school, we began to learn a little bit more. And I tell you what, and then by the time we made high school, it's possible that by then we thought we knew everything. And if not then, by college age, we thought we knew everything. And you talk to people in their 40s and 50s, and almost all of them, except a few choice individuals, will tell you that they realize now how much they did not know then. But why do I bring that up? Because we're learning all the time. How many of us know everything we need to know? How many of us who are dads who love the Lord and want to do the right thing? But how many of us know everything we need to know? And the truth is, we don't. And the truth is, we need to admit that. And we need to know that. And so we need to act on the truth that we have. But we need to be taught of the Lord. And so as godly men and as righteous men, we need to be in the Word of God, because we're not going to learn anything new from the Lord or about the Lord unless we are in the Word of God. And so there are some prayers. And I quoted it this morning in a Sunday school class. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And in another place it says that if we pray anything according to His will, He will do it. We know that if we ask according to His will, we have the things that we have asked for. And I know for a fact, based on the Word of God, that these three prayers, simple though they are, they are powerful because they are in the will of God. And so today's message is very, very simple. I leave you with three little prayers. And I think I can say this based on the Word of God. These are three simple little prayers. But if any man will regularly pray these three prayers and really, really mean them from the heart, you will be walking in relationship with the Lord, and you will ultimately be used of the Lord. And that's a pretty good guarantee, isn't it? All we have to do is do what the Lord tells us. Prayer number one, teach me. It's already been alluded to that men are leaders in the home. And we are teachers. And the scripture makes it plain that the parents are the first teachers of their children. We're the first teachers of our children in a whole lot of things, including about God. And even after church age and children's church and Sunday school and Awana and youth programs and all the rest, mom and dad should still remain the primary teachers of the things of God. And so as the man of the house, the man being the teacher, how can I teach what I do not know? How can I teach what I do not know? And a lot of men struggle with reading. And a lot of men struggle with, well, I'm just not so much into that. But I just say, just read the Word. Read the Word. Get yourself saturated with the Word. How in the wide world are you going to read the Word of God on a daily basis and do a little bit of searching and a little bit of digging? You have to turn into some kind of scholar or something. But if you read the Word of God regularly, didn't Sam say he got hungry 3 times a day? If we were to be hungry 3 times a day for the Word of God, and we read a couple of verses and we stay in the Word of God, is it possible that as dumb and thick-skulled as we men are, we might learn something? Something will stick. And so, teach me. And when I say to the Lord, teach me, what am I saying? I'm saying, Lord, teach me. And that's just these verses. And I mean, this is a little tiny sample. You start putting this stuff in your concordance or whatever, I mean, it lights up all over the place. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressor. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. He is the only source of truth. He is the only one that can lead me the right way. The world is always going to lead me the wrong way. The world is always going to give me the wrong advice. Even today, with all the technology we've got and everything else, but in moral issues and in family issues and in stuff like that, guess what? The information that's out there is junk. Because it is not according to the Word of God. So when I come to the Lord and I say, teach me, I want the Lord to teach me according to His will, according to His plan, according to His purpose, according to His values, and not the values of this world, that I could please Him and that I could walk. And I am saying to Him, teach me, because I'm saying I'm willing to learn. I came across that little word again the other day in the Greek, manthano. Which means to learn. And then the word for disciple is mathetes, which is a learner. It is a word tied directly. So a disciple is a learner. Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Wasn't Jesus called master? And that means teacher. He's the teacher. I'm the learner. And so I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, teach me. Suppose I've been serving the Lord for 20 years. Should I still pray, Lord, teach me? Suppose I'm a deacon in the church. Should I still pray, Lord, teach me? Suppose I've been to the seminary and I got my PhD in theology. Should I still pray, teach me? I hear some, or see some heads bobbing out there. We never reach the point, man, where we should not be saying to the Lord, teach me, because there is always something new to learn in Him. Number two, guide me. In number one, we're saying, I don't know everything. And in number two, we're saying, Lord, I'm not wise enough to always make the right choices. So, Lord, guide me. How many of you believe your children need guidance? And I thought that song that Kevin sang brought it out very good. We try to guide our families, wives, children, but we need somebody to guide us. And that would be the Lord. And so we should constantly be praying for the Lord's guidance, for the Lord's guidance in every single decision, for the Lord's guidance in every single thing, even in the things that we think are mundane, even in the things that we might think the Lord isn't all that interested in. Let me tell you something, the Lord is interested in all of it. And when we say, Lord, guide me, let me ask about the sheep-shepherd relationship. What do shepherds do? What are they supposed to do? Lead. And what are the sheep supposed to do? Follow. And so even as a dad, I'm his sheep. He's the shepherd. And he'll lead and I follow. And there used to be a lot of songs about that. I don't know if we sing as many songs like that anymore, but about him leading and we follow. And so we're supposed to be leaders. Yeah, we're supposed to be leaders in the home and maybe in the church and who knows where else. But we need to be led, and we need someone to guide us. Guide me into your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. And the Lord has promised to do that, but He'll only do it if we're open to it. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in what? Paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That is what the Lord does. But I need to pray for it. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. And let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. What a wonderful verse. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. How many look to your earthly dads, perhaps at one time, for some good earthly counsel? I hope so, and I hope you had the kind of dad that was able to give that kind of counsel. And I know I did, and I was blessed to have that kind of dad. But we have one who is far greater and far wiser and knows far more and is perfect. And as we pray to him and say, Lord, guide me, he will certainly do that. He will guide me. And hey, the outer circumstances, I'm never in a place where he can't find me to guide me. Sometimes God might seem far away. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So the Lord is able to guide me in every situation of life and in every geographical location, wherever I may be. And then, Lord, teach me. Lord, guide me. Teach me because I don't know everything. Guide me because I'm not wise enough to make all the right decisions. And thirdly, use me because I understand that I'm not here for myself. I understand that I am here for your purposes. And even as I live my life, we talk about that. Something about that phrase makes me a little jittery sometimes. Even as I live my life, you know, whatever it may be, as a single person, as a dad, as a mom, whatever, in all the different things, even, Lord, I know I'm not here for myself. I am here for you. And Lord, I don't want to just be marking time. And Lord, I don't want to just be having fun. Some people say, oh, well, Christians, you know, they don't think we should ever have any fun. That isn't true. And the Lord's okay with us having fun, but I think he does have a problem with us just seeking fun for fun's sake. We can have plenty of fun even as we go about the Lord's business and even as we go about doing the things that he's called us to do. And even those day-to-day things, they can be fun. They can be a source of joy to us and all of that, but not just for myself. No. So the Lord can use us and he'll choose us and he'll call us. And so I put that from Acts because that's where the Lord tells Ananias to go and pray for a man named Saul. And he says, Lord, do you know who that man is? That cracked me up the other day. Lord, do you know who that man is? He's the biggest enemy the church has. He's out there arresting people left and right. The Lord said, you just go, okay? Because he's my man, I have chosen him, and he's going to bear my name to Gentiles, to Jews, to kings, to rulers. I'm going to use him all over the place. Did God use Paul? The Lord used Paul. And at one time, he was the biggest enemy that there was of the gospel. But later on, Paul will write this: for God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. So there, Paul is saying, the Lord has given me a specialty. He's using me to reach the Gentiles, even as he's using the fisherman guy to reach his own people. And so the Lord has a purpose for all of us. And he does want to use us. Do you want to be used of the Lord? So as we go through life, it's good to have certain kinds of goals and all that, but just so they're not just our own selfish goals. Because really the true goal is that wherever the Lord sends us or puts us, it's to be used of him. Now, closing with this verse, also from the scripture reading. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, that is, you know, from the things that are ignoble, from the things that can be a hindrance, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy. Made holy just means set apart for a special purpose, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. We've had a lot of those men like that around this church over the years, and a lot of dads like that around this church over the years, ready to put in a hand, able to put in a hand, and just find joy in serving the Lord and being used of the Lord. So dads, let's just keep that in sight, because in a world today where people are out to live their own lives, their own way, do their own thing, whatever. And as I say, it's a free country, right? You can waste your life any kind of way you want to. But I would hope that as believers, that wouldn't be what our goal would be. That our goal would be to actually be used of the Lord. Do we have to be used in some spectacular way that brings acclaim or whatever? I don't think so. I think if we just know that we made a difference in somebody's life along the way, sometime we were there to give a good word. We were there to give a helping hand. We were just there. That's all we need to know. Because that means that the Lord used us. We won't know the tally until it's all over. But we do want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will now make you ruler over many things. Enter in to the joy of your Lord." That's what we're aiming for today. So three little prayers for dads or for any man who desires to be used of the Lord. Lord, teach me. Lord, guide me. Lord, use me. There's no weakness in that. And if we pray those prayers and really, really, truly mean them, we will see God work in us and through us for his glory. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you, Lord, today. We know that whatever we've achieved, really, is by your help, by your grace, and certainly anything, any progress we've made in the Christian life or anything like that, any mistakes we've been able to remedy or whatever, anything like that, any growth that has happened in our lives, it's all because of your work, Lord. And so we recognize, Lord, no matter how long we've walked with you, we still need to learn of you. And we still need to be guided by you, because sometimes even with the best intentions, we might take the wrong turn and we might wind up at the wrong place and look back later and say, "Oh, that was a mistake." So Lord, guide us today, teach us, and then ultimately use us. Just let us be humble enough and just hold things with a loose enough hand that you would be able to work through us for your honor and your glory in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our places of work, and in all the places where you send us. Give us righteous men that walk with you, that are taught by you, that are guided by you, and that are used by you. And may we be among those. That's our prayer today. And we ask these things humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.